Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
I am so freaking tired. Everybody, we're back at home bases, respectively. It's time once again.
This is No Agenda.
Coming to you from the Crackpot Command Center, located in the southwest quadrant of Gitmo Nation East, known as London. Everybody, I'm Adam Curry.
And from parts unknown in northern Silicon Valley, the place that doesn't exist, so the unknown part is key. I'm John C. Dvorak.
It's Crackpot and Buzzkill in the
morning. Damn, that was tight.
That was good.
Will the judges please hold up their votes?
8.7.
8.7, yes.
We got ripped off.
Hey, buddy.
9-point scale.
How you doing, John?
Okay, I see you're back in London finally.
Yeah, it's weird because I somehow, because I guess I had told you, oh, it'll be a little bit later, whatever, but I got in early. I was home at like 1 o'clock. It was unbelievable. Went so fast.
Your connection sucks.
My connection? I hear you fine. You can't hear me?
No, that's the good part. Yeah. That's the good news.
Oh. Okay. My back is killing me.
Oh, why? You didn't get the... What kind of plane would you fly back on?
No, it was the 747. It was the Virgin, the upper class and with the bed and everything, but it was lumpy.
Oh, boy.
the bed was lumpy.
The bed was lumpy?
Yeah. I don't know. It messed up my back, that's for sure. But it's unbelievable.
I've noticed a couple. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I've noticed a couple of flights since I just flew. You know, I flew back and forth a couple of times this year. That they've changed the. You know, about 2 or 3 years ago, British Airlines put in business class complete flat seats. In other words, it was a bed that was literally flat.
Yeah.
It was a lot of room and it was very comfortable. So it looks as though United on the flight over. Had completely flat beds too, and it was like little alcoves. This is in business, not first class.
Right.
And it was completely flat, except for the fact that they designed the thing with seats that face forward and half the seats face backwards.
And that's not a good thing?
Well, I mean, who wants to be flying around backwards? So anyway,
you can't complain, man. If you got a flat bed and it's for free, you can't complain. Did you fly backwards then on United?
Yeah, I flew backwards.
Oh, okay.
Although I slept, it was about back down. Then coming back on Lufthansa, you'd think of all the carriers that would have the flat bed, Lufthansa would be one of them. But no, they have the same old reclining seat that kind of keeps you at like just about I think it's a 10 or 15 degree angle.
Just doesn't quite do it.
No, you can't flip around and, you know, lay on your stomach or anything like that. So anyway, one of these days I'll have it figured out.
It's a long-ass trip. Weather is beautiful, though. It's really just phenomenal. It's like San Francisco weather, actually.
Yeah, we have this week we've got 80s.
Okay, it's not quite like San Francisco weather, but at least there's sun, blue skies, nice and warm, everyone's out. And despite the fact that, you know, no one has a job, they've got no place to live, and the government is ripping everybody off for their own personal gain, this huge scandal, John, we missed some massive expense scandals in the United Kingdom.
Well, of course we did, because who's going to cover that over here? We got too many real news stories.
Yeah, we do. And now the ministers of parliament have actually called in the police. The Scotland Yard have to come in and find out who has leaked all of this confidential data. Which, of course, is a good thing, because now we find out that, you know, Gordon Brown, he expensed £6,000 for maid services that he shared with his brother for his house. And of course we still have Wacky Jackie's husband, who rented not one but two X-rated movies, and she expensed that.
Wow.
Nasty.
She should be kicked out on her ass.
She should put out for her husband. That's what this story tells me. It's how embarrassing is that, though, that you actually have to account, it was my husband. I would have said perhaps like, well, the both of us watched it or something, you know, it's like a little sexy night and we apologize, I kind of slipped through the cracks. No, my husband watched it. Well, yeah, just looking at her, no kidding.
That's embarrassing. What an idiot she is.
But the headline, the big headline, Joanna Lumley, better known as Patsy from Absolutely Fabulous, or...
is that the blonde or
yes,
the other
the
one?
Yes, the blonde.
Okay.
Of course, Joanna Lumley, a fantastic actress, or I should just say actor. She also was in... Wasn't she in the Avengers after...
Doesn't this call for a real news hit?
Yeah, well, we... Sorry.
That's okay. We need more of those.
Yeah.
To real news.
Well, it's very interesting what she's done, because it's not just like a showbiz story. But the... are you familiar with the Gurkhas?
The Gurkhas?
Yeah. And I'm
is that either a small pickle or someone in India?
That's a gherkin. No, I think it's... Well, this has to do with the Gurkhas who fought in the Falklands War on the... On the British side?
Yeah, these are Indian fighters, aren't
yes,
they?
Yes, correct. I think it's correct. And so you have these Gurkhas who fought on behalf of the British, many of them in the Falklands War. I'm really paraphrasing here because the story gets even weirder. I think Joanna Lumley's dad was either a part of... Either he worked with the Gurkhas or he was saved by the Gurkhas. There's something going on. And so she is basically speaking up for the Gurkhas, who now are being refused entry into the United Kingdom. And she went to Parliament the other day, and she went right up to Gordon Brown and said, "I got to talk to you." And she threw this, I haven't seen the video yet, but this big scene, and then she grabbed the Minister of Immigration and said, "You are changing this policy." And you can see these pictures of the guy, like, completely, he's terrified of her. And she's all over the papers, and she apparently is changing the immigration laws just by standing up and saying, "Hey, screw you guys. These guys fought for us. They have every right to enter the United Kingdom." And it's the top of the real news here.
Well, I would think. I mean, the fact that they let in radical Muslim Islamists from Pakistan, which are inhabiting all over that part of London, and they won't let these guys in who actually fought for them. That doesn't make any sense.
No, of course. Well, they're clamping down. You know, this the island is shutting down. No one's allowed in. I got in just under the wire.
Yeah, now you won't be able to get out.
I did have a moment when I was entering immigration, thinking of the Michael Savage story, thinking, we know there are like six more names on the list. You don't really think.
And you're one of them.
Who knows? Well, I mean, it's not any nuttier than Michael Savage being on the list.
Well, true. It's not, actually not really, except for the fact that our audience is 1/100th of his.
Yeah.
But anyway... So Michael Savage's kid, I can't remember his name, but anyway, he's the one who's the CEO of this, Red Bull clone Rockstar.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I think actually Michael Savage is the money behind Rockstar.
I think it's a pretty successful brand. I see it all over the place.
Oh, hugely successful. It's amazing. It just came out of the blue. And, of course, it makes sense because Michael Savage, before he became a talk show guy, was an herbologist.
Ah. All right,
and he's got a bunch of books on.
I mean,
you
big
know,
deal. I'm an herbologist. What's the big deal? I'm an expert herbologist.
Yeah. Uh huh. So anyway, Savage would have been the guy that probably blended this thing, but it was so funny because I was watching. They had this huge fight that was obviously was big in the UK. It was Ricky Hatton versus Manny Pacquiao, which is brought into Las Vegas, the half of England. I think he's from, where is he from in England? He's either from, he's not Welsh, I don't think. I can't remember.
Okay.
Anyway, I'll have to look it up. He's from Manchester, so I think. So he's got this huge contingent. They follow him all over the world, they pound drums. It's really quite a scene. And Manny Pacquiao's got this Filipino contingent, and he's actually one of the greatest fighters I've ever seen. And so he beats the crap out of Hatton. And Hatton gets nailed with a left hook and falls. It looks like, in fact, a friend of mine was Twittering the fight when it happened. He says, "Oh, my God, I think he's dead." So we call that a knockout punch.
Right.
Anyway, he went flat against the canvas, which was sponsored by Rockstar.
That's why it's there.
And he actually was laid out in parallel right on top of the Rockstar logo as though the whole thing was like you couldn't have asked for anything.
You can't get better. You can't get a better setup.
I mean, it wasn't like he was across it or part. It was just right in the middle. Just the damnedest thing I've ever seen. Nobody's awesome. Mentioned that, of course.
Awesome. Awesome.
Anyway.
So looking at the news over here and... you know, of course, Patricia came back from, she came back yesterday from Holland, her live shows, and she brought back some Dutch newspapers, and I've just been kind of scanning all the headlines. A couple of things that are notable.
How's things going with Wendy, by the way?
I'm waiting for the shit to hit the fan on our comments. I have no idea how things are going with Wendy. I don't know. The swine flu name has changed, in the Netherlands, and I see it in Germany. I see it in France. It is now officially known as the Mexican flu. It is not the swine flu anymore. Mm. But, all the headlines in the Netherlands, and this is exactly what we predicted, I think one or two shows ago. The Netherlands has now announced, the Dutch government, that they, you know, there's, 17 million people live in the Netherlands. They have, on order now, 34 million flu vaccinations. So that each member of the Dutch population can receive two flu vaccinations before the big one hits in autumn. It's not quite, we're not quite sure if it's mandatory, but seeing as they've got, you know, 34 million, which is exactly double the population, it seems like they will make it mandatory. Giving a new name to two to the head. I think we maybe call it two to the arm. This being the true testing ground, I think we can see a lot of this, lot more of this happening, and I have a feeling it's going to be mandatory, John.
We got to start looking in or find someone or talk to somebody between shows and find out what the deal is with this August flu. The fact of the matter is the flu, that shot that they normally put out for the winter flu, which hits hardest, between November and February, they can't develop that flu vaccine
until it exists.
Yeah, until it exists, and then they can kind of figure out what it might become. Then they take four candidates and make a flu vaccine, and they can't produce the flu vaccine and get it into the public domain until October, typically the first or second week of October this thing comes out. And I remember that the exact days because a few years ago we actually had a shortage in the U.S., and anyway, they can't. So I don't get what this is. This is just either a hollow shot. I mean, it can't have any meaning, this flu shot given for the first week of October.
It's even funkier because they're saying, well, you know, so of course we need to have some of the strain or whatever before we can create it. And they're going to use the new techniques, which don't involve the old-fashioned six-month egg process. But even crazier, saying, so if the strain is different from the H1N1, they just say, oh, well, we can easily morph that into whatever's necessary.
Well, now they do have a new way of, you know, somebody came up this within the last year or two, it was a big deal, a big news story that, oh, we found a different way of attacking the flu virus through some other mechanism on the little animal itself. And, maybe they're talking about that, but it was my understanding that this thing hasn't even gone through human testing yet. Do you think perhaps we're going to have real-time testing? And this is what we're looking at here, is that they're going to actually experiment on the public? Wait a minute. No, never mind. There's no way they'd do that.
No. Oh, no. That wouldn't happen.
Don't look over here.
Nothing to see here.
Ooh, look at that.
Well, you know what? The more I look at this story, it almost feels like there was a payoff was due to the pharmaceutical industry. It's like, okay, yeah, we'll conjure up this big scare story and everyone will start freaking out. And then you guys can go ahead and we already have it all on order. We're, you know, now everyone will be prepared to take their shots.
Maybe there was, how about this? The pharmaceutical industry created this thing. You know, there was a couple of reports early on when the Mexican flu, swine flu, AH1N1 first appeared, that it was, some people said, well, you know, this could have been one of those things developed in Bethesda or at some lab someplace.
Yeah.
Because there were some curiosities about that. Those stories all have been dropped. That, you know, maybe they got a new marketing trick, you know, which is to create some phony. And, you know, the thing that made this, the flu in Mexico, so odd in terms of its perhaps being invented was that it had no history. It had no history, but where it formed in the outside of a pig farm somewhere in the middle of Mexico, it as it gravitated, as it reproduced and moved out further away from the source, it became almost nothing. It became like a dud, which is
it became seasonal flu.
Yeah, mild
and seasonal flu. And it's so funny because...
How's it go from 150 dead to, you know?
Well, what I understand and what I've deduced in Mexico, you know, they hand out antibiotics very easily. It's not like in the States or in many countries where you go through doctor prescription. I think it's very, very easy to get antibiotics. And my feeling is that the general resistance of the population of Mexico City probably was reduced. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, but antibiotics really has nothing to do with a virus.
Hmm.
I mean, it shouldn't have made any difference. Although it turns out that a lot of these people who died, they died of pneumonia or something. This whole story is fishy. That's all I want to say.
Well, not nearly as fishy as the. of course, this happened right after we did our last show. The big mea culpa letter came out for the Air Force One flyby. And who was the White House military director? He took the hit and he resigned over this.
Yeah, he quit.
You know what was kind of disturbing? Did you read his resignation letter, which was sent to the president, by the way? Did you read it? Did you have a chance to look at any of that?
No, I didn't. I didn't think it was worth it. I'm now understanding that it was probably something I should have read.
Only for one reason and one reason only. Not anywhere was there a word that said, hey, I'm sorry. There was no apology. It was just like, you know, here's what happened.
Yes, probably because he was told to do this by the president's office.
Yeah. But it's so frustrating, these people.
You're going to have to quit. But I was told to do this.
Yeah.
No, sorry.
Just following orders.
Don't worry about it. We'll give you a pension.
Just following orders. We didn't know. Wir haben es nicht gewusst. That is just... And did you see the picture? Did you see the picture that they've released?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you, that thing is photoshopped. That's the worst picture in the world. It's flying above the Statue of Liberty, but the background it's completely not the right New York background. It's got like New Jersey in the background.
I don't know what the deal is. There's another fishy story.
Yeah, duh.
Well, somebody just sent me an interesting little note here on the swine flu. Now, this is a good one. Now, the U.S., this is a, this came on some weird source, but it says, U.S. Disease Prevention Center, I don't even know what that is, claims the newly spread potentially fatal strain of swine flu virus may have originated from California.
Oh, of course.
The Centers for Disease Control and Protection said on Saturday that the state preceded Mexico, the alleged source of the virus. Well, this is now, this story is even weirder. As we investigated, blah, 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 as early as March, patients were diagnosed in California with a new type of viral infection. The new strain of swine flu virus, H1N1, blah, blah, blah. So, okay, so it started in California, goes to Mexico, kills 150 people, comes back to California, and does nothing. And meanwhile, they made such a big deal about the list here. Ireland's the latest to report a case.
Woo!
It says, here's how many has been confirmed. 51 in Canada, 15 in Spain, 13 in Britain, 6 in Germany, 4 in New Zealand, 3 in Israel, 1 in Switzerland. This is...
Do we now actually know what the symptoms are of this thing?
Well, the symptoms that have been listed was just a high fever, achy back.
Yeah. But not necessarily vomiting. I don't think that's a necessity in this one.
No.
Okay.
Maybe diarrhea.
Yeah, well, gee, big difference. Because, you know, I was talking to the girls, you know, and Dexter's here as well, and you know, because I was pretty sick, you know, for a good week and a half, I was definitely on the ropes, and I said, you know, I definitely whatever, you know, if call it Mexican flu, swine flu. I had it. I mean, there was no other flu going around that anyone talked about. So I had it. Oh, no, that's impossible because you weren't throwing up. You weren't violently ill. I said, I was ill. It's just, you know.
Well, you had something, but the thing that's weird about what you had was you come into the office in San Francisco, which is normally a cesspool of disease.
Yes, it is.
And you didn't pass it on to anybody.
Well, I didn't kiss anyone this time around.
I'm just saying.
From the world of the pharmaceutical industry, and from another one of our younger listeners to No Agenda, I'll read this email because it's disturbing. Hey, Crackpot and Buzzkill, after listening to No Agenda 95, in which the 16-year-old from Gitmo Nation West wrote in, thought you might want to hear what's being taught to the children in the Midwest of Gitmo Nation East. I'm a 15-year-old freshman at the same high school that two of your favorite guys, Rahm Emanuel and Donald Rumsfeld, graduated from. Well, that's interesting. I didn't know they went to the same school.
I didn't either.
Yeah. My biology teacher, that must be like, what's in D.C.? What's the, where all those kids go to? It's, God, my cousins all went to it. Wesley, is it Wesley maybe, or?
I don't know.
My biology teacher recently gave us a homework assignment to learn about HPV. And what website did she tell us to go to? Why, www.gardasil.com, of course. Where better to learn about a virus than the website of the sole provider of a vaccination for it? There's even a nice video on the homepage featuring some girls approximately the age of those in my class. While the assignment had questions about how Gardasil works and why it's important, there was not a single question on the possible health risks. I wasn't expecting my biology teacher to ask questions about how drugs are subsidized by the government, but I still find it difficult to believe that my teacher was not paid off. Oh, I love you, man. I have attempted to convert some additional No Agenda producers. However, bringing anything up that could possibly be viewed as anti-government results in the large majority of my peers thinking I am a complete moron. So I have rested my case. Your show is the only time I ever hear about most of the stories you talk about, so please keep up the great work. From Mitchell. All right, dude. Excellent. Excellent. A young freedom fighter, a freedom ranger amongst us. Up and coming. Lovely.
Freedom ranger. We got to use that one.
You like that one, huh?
Yeah.
You should.
So, yeah, well, that's just kind of what the...
It just kind of pisses me off. This is going on in schools. Our kids are not safe.
The name of the school, actually, we're talking about one, is in Winnetka, Illinois, called New Trier.
Oh, is that where Emmanuel and
I guess
went to?
And Rumsfeld.
Oh, yeah.
And sounds like a propaganda center.
And I keep reading that Tamiflu is no longer effective against the Mexican flu, which, of course, is Rumsfeld's company.
I haven't heard that from anywhere.
Yeah, I've been reading. Oh, well, I'll put the links in the show notes. Yeah, no, there's some kind of like semi-official looking reports about this, that it doesn't work anymore. And
well,
of course,
it's time to, for you people out there who listen to the show, Relenza.
Relenza. Switch to Relenza.
Relenza is a little harder to use because you have to inhale it. It's a powder.
Oh.
And so, like, you get these blister packs and this crazy device that you suck on. And
you have this?
I've had it. I don't have any with me now.
Oh, okay.
I mean, because I carry around Tamiflu, but I found it to be kind of interesting. Anyway, so you push this little thing and it pops the blister pack, and then you inhale it real hard, you know, to get this powder kind of in the vortex, and it goes into your lungs directly, and it actually has a nice flavor, believe it or not. Of kind of,
really?
And I suppose you could probably put this in these blister packs of powdered milk.
Hmm.
It's so, actually kind of
tasty.
So you
could also drop it in your tea.
Yeah, you could.
Uh-oh. I never hear you cough, John. Maybe it's time to... So Baxter International, who of course is one of the companies that is contracted by the government to come up with the vaccination. They're a Chicago-based company. I didn't realize that. A lot of interesting Chicago companies in cropping up doing weird stuff. Of course, that would come right back to the Chicago mob that has now infiltrated the administration in the White House.
Yeah, pretty much.
This guy's got it covered.
So I'm looking at the school. the website, there's a list of new Trier High School alumni. This is from northern part of Chicago, just north of the city itself, which is the ritzy part of the, I mean, that's where, you know, Jesse Jackson's got a mansion. All these people live in this northern area. And some of the people that graduated from the school include Anne Margaret, Adam Baldwin, Ralph Bellamy,
of the Bellamy
Bruce
brothers,
Dern, Charlton Heston, Rock Hudson,
wow,
Virginia Madsen, Penelope Milford, I don't know, Hugh O'Brien. These are just actors. There's a huge list of them. And then business executives, there's a few that you haven't heard of, except Christy Hefner, because he would live in that area, of course,
yeah,
during that era.
Yeah, yeah.
A whole slew of Mike Bloomfield, the guitarist, a whole bunch of musicians.
Wow. It's a hotbed of creativity there.
Or something. It's a big list.
Rather disturbing. Madison, Wisconsin, the court there has upheld a rather disturbing practice. The police apparently are allowed to attach a GPS to your automobile, even if you are not a suspect. It does not require a warrant so that they can track you.
Yeah, I think this goes on in a lot of cities.
I know it's going on in Europe because I you know, and it's legal and it's okay, or it always was, and apparently you can do this. I mean, isn't that somehow a breach of some kind of right somewhere, it would seem?
I don't see how it could be. I think funnier ideas for a citizens group to put these things on cop cars.
I wonder what they look like. I wonder what it's like, a kind of like a bug, like a magnet thing that you plop on.
Yeah, it's probably, you know, a little device. It's probably the size of a lipstick case, maybe not even that big, and then it's got a magnet in it, and you just, you know, get underneath and put it under the bumper or someplace that's, you know, where it can go. And the way you do it right is you make the device either dirt, you know, colored or something, so if it was hooked to the car and you looked under there, you wouldn't necessarily see it. Probably you don't want it to have a blinking light.
But clearly it's invasion of privacy, you know. And if you're not a suspect, I mean, how can they just, why would they just be able to be allowed to do that?
Why? Well, the question is, why would they want to if you're not a suspect?
The real question is,
just who is they?
I just got a note from somebody on Skype saying, not to be nitpicking, but Jesse Jackson and Obama live in the South Shore. Mm. I live in Winnetka on the North Shore himself. Mm. I always thought Jesse Jackson had a place in the North Shore. So this is news to me.
I really don't know anything about it.
Anyway. Whatever. Anyway, we have a couple of our listeners now that are correcting us in real time, which I think is great.
And apologies for the last show. We just couldn't get the stream working at the same time. You know, I'm reading a book that was recommended to me by one of our listeners, and it's a bitch of a book. It's like, how many pages is this thing? It's like 1,070 pages of small print, so very challenging for me. But it's been around for 50 years, and I'm about a quarter of the way through it. Now
Can I guess the name of the book?
Yes, please do.
The London Phone Book.
No.
Oh.
No, it was written in the 40s, very famous author. She's written another famous book, which I also haven't read. And I'm such a culture.
You're not going to say Ayn Rand,
that's
I
exactly
hope.
What I'm going to say. Atlas Ugh. Shrugged.
Oh, please.
Have you read this?
I've read her stuff, sure.
Have you read
The Fountainhead is the book you want to read. That's actually quite entertaining.
Well, yeah, so that's... I understand that they're ready to make the movie about the Fountainheads. But
The Fountainhead was made into a movie in the 40s starring Gary Cooper.
Oh, then it's a remake. And there you go.
The original is probably better.
But Atlas Shrugged is really interesting. Why are you going, oh, brother? Why?
She is a essentially a cult figure.
Yeah.
And the people who follow her are all kind of wacky. It's a thing called objectivism.
And what's your point?
Well, yeah, I know it makes sense with you doing this, of course. She's this philosophy she developed called objectivism, is rather, it's kind of soulless, and it's not particularly pleasant ideals that are in it. I'm not a big fan.
Well, so I guess I haven't gotten to the idealistic part, but what is kind of cool is just the description of how evil government really is. At least that's the way I'm
reading it. You need to read this book, huh, to get that?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. It's fascinating, though. It's a page-turner once you kind of get into it.
I actually sat down and read Fountainhead in one sitting.
It's just phenomenal. And
by the way, anyone out there who knows that book knows what that means.
Don't say anything. Because that's the next one. That's the next one on my list. No, but I thought it was a great... this is a book that I would never pick up to read. I'd look at this thing and go, no time for that. This is bigger than my bar of gold.
I have a book around here I should recommend. I don't have it in front of me.
And when I finished it, so by the next show, I'll do a review. But I think you would not recommend having read it a long, long time ago in its original, apparently in its original first run edition.
No, I mean, if people have never read Ayn Rand, they should. I mean, she's a very entertaining writer, and she creates a sense of drama. The storytelling is fairly decent. It's just that the underlying, philosophies, get on your nerves after a while. I actually had a roommate in college who was an Ayn Rand nut. And I found the guy to be, he kept, I think most of his time was spent looking in the mirror and grooming his eyebrows, literally. And I think that's pretty much, to me, that's an Ayn Rand. Of course, you might do the same, but
well, I'll let you know how it turns out.
Yeah, you'll be kind of a nutty guy. You'll be a fanatic for a short time. So, anything else? I think that's it for this week's news.
No, no, man.
Don't forget, I'm out here. I don't have any stories.
There's tons of. That's right. There's nothing you can know about. And it's the craziest thing. So I always pick up the National Enquirer and People Magazine and Us Magazine and Teen Vogue for Christina. And I bring that home. And so I'm walking around. She says, hey. And I said, what? This is the funniest thing. And, how long have we been married? 22 years. And how long have I been a crackpot? At least 2 years, maybe 3 years. And she says, is this true? Is this true? I said, what? That Brad and Angelina are going to split up? I'm like, what? Why would I know that?
Because you were in the States and everybody knows what's going on
and
here.
More importantly, why would I care?
Brad and Angelina. I'm surprised they stayed together as long as they have.
Well, she's smoking, man. But she's got to be kind of wacky.
Kind of?
I don't know. I mean,
she's got to be a handful. Mm. Any guy. Oh, I got to give Brad Pitt a lot of credit because he's a very famous. He's a good actor. I really like his movies, and I like what he selects to do. Although I couldn't watch.
After reading. Did you see that?
No, I didn't even. No, I haven't seen that.
It's
but
cute.
I couldn't watch that other movie where he's an old man as a baby.
Oh, the Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
I couldn't watch it.
Yeah.
I couldn't stand why I was on the airplane. There's two or three movies I watch when I travel across the ocean. I watch probably three, four movies depending on which direction I'm going, and so I watched. I watched the new James Bond movie. I was thinking about this last night. I said, I can talk about movies I saw recently. I saw that. I started thinking about it. I said, for one thing, I almost turned it off three times in the middle because it was more like a Jackie Chan movie. There was no story, and there was like the kind of action that was like, why is this guy having to do, why is this, when did James Bond become this world-class karate champion, with all these crazy moves and crawling up buildings and doing Jackie Chan stuff?
Yeah.
So I thought it was, and the movie started with about two or three of these scenes. I said, this is bull. I'm turning it off, and I ended up watching it. But thinking back on it, I can't remember what it was about.
Yeah.
It was so shallow.
Oh, how I long for the days of Roger Moore and even Sean Connery when you think of it.
So then I tried to watch the Benjamin Button movie. I couldn't take it. It just was like, it was just annoying. It was so annoying. I had to turn it off. The movie I did like, and everyone out there should definitely rent or look at it or get a copy because it was riveting and you wouldn't know why unless you saw the movie, Frost Nixon.
Oh, I saw that. I saw that on the way over. Fantastic movie. I had no idea that Frost financed all that stuff himself, that he took this huge risk and almost, you know, almost blew it.
Yeah, he almost went bankrupt. It was a fantastic story. It's mostly about the backstory, not so much about the debate. And it was, it's really one of the finest films I've seen for years.
There is one other one I'd like to mention, since I also like to watch movies from time to time when I'm traveling across the ocean. The Reader with Kate Winslet.
Yeah, I didn't get to. I was thinking about that.
I cried. I could not stop crying. I had actual tears. I'm like, I'm so happy on my flatbed because I don't want anyone to see that I'm sitting here like a baby, just crying. I'm such a pussy. And it's a long movie, too. It's like 2.5 hours. But beautiful, beautiful movie.
I watched Jim Carrey's Yes Man, and I think that was actually, even though it's ridiculous formula movie, which is right out of the textbook of how to, you know, piece one of these formula flicks together. You know, boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy meets But I thought it was highly entertaining because there's a bunch of scenes that are quite funny, and Jim Carrey's quite good.
Did you see Seven Pounds, Will Smith?
No, I never even heard of that one.
Yeah, it's a good movie, man. It's one of those that kind of unravels and it all comes together at the end. It just it's a fabulous story. I can't really tell the story because it would spoil it, but Will Smith, I think his performance in that is it's Oscar stuff. Really, really is. Another movie where I cried.
Like yeah, well, the Oscar movies are the ones that come out near the end of the year. They've got this thing set up now where...
It's all going to be Indian movies again.
Yeah, probably.
I found, you know, the movie industry is in such dire straits. And you know how movies are financed? There's basically two types of financing. There's there's two parts to the financing. You have the money that just flows in from idiots who think they're going to get laid, you know, by the actresses and they can be on the red carpet. But the real financing is the debt financing of these movies that is all done up front. And that's always the first money out, and that's what real hedge funds are in that and banks. You know, it's pure debt financing. There is no debt financing anymore. There are meetings going on all over Hollywood. People are freaking out because there is no money to make movies right now. There's just no money.
Well,
so I'm saying perfect opportunity.
For what?
For some debt financing. I'd love to debt finance a couple movies. Are you kidding me?
Well, what's your email? The Hollywood moguls that listen to the show can send you a note, and you can be given organizing this.
Yes, I could.
I wonder if we have any, you know, if we had any Hollywood people that listen to the show, because I've been trying to get a bit part. What?
Has what?
Just some guy, you know, a guy behind the counter. I don't care.
At a 7-Eleven.
Fine.
Hey, you kids, get away from that Pac-Man.
Laid off old man. Would you like fries with that? Get out of my sight, you kids. Don't you know how to flip a burger?
May 14th, the annual Bilderberg Conference is scheduled to be held.
Yeah.
In Greece this year.
Oh, in Greece. Oh,
yes. What,
in Athens or one of the islands?
It's at the five-star Nafsika Ashtir Palace Hotel in Vouliagmeni, which sounds like an island to me.
It sounds like one, yeah. You don't want them with the regular public. You have to put them out on an island somewhere.
And this is just the crazy for people who don't know what the Bilderberg Group is, started by Prince Bernard of the Netherlands in the Bilderberg Hotel. It's essentially world leaders, royalty, the movers and shakers all come together. But the crazy thing is it also includes, you know, editors of the top publications of newspapers, magazines. But it's kind of like a Fight Club thing where...
How come we've never been invited?
Let me think. I have interviewed someone who went there, the Dutch Secretary of Economic Affairs. And I asked him point blank. I said, so what'd you guys discuss? So what'd you chat about there at the Bilderberg? He says, I'm sorry, I can't talk about that. It's the first rule of Bilderberg is we don't talk about Bilderberg.
Because they don't talk about anything. It's a drinking club.
Well, then the press that is invited, why doesn't the press just say that then? Oh, you know, we just hung out and drank. I mean, that's okay. I'd accept that. But the fact that the press is invited, world press top, you know, editors and owners of publications, but the editors and nothing is allowed to be published. It's irksome. I mean, doesn't you see that hurts their credibility?
Bill Gates used to have a thing down the Hood Canal. He's got some sort of a lodge there. And he every year would invite, Walt Mossberg and John Markoff and all these hot shots and all these big papers that covered technology down to this brainwashing session that they had at the Hood Canal. And they would, one of the rules was the same rule. You can't. What?
You've told us this story before.
Well, you wanted to. I did.
Yeah, and that you were no longer invited.
No, I was never invited.
Okay. Well, I take it back. Continue.
No, I was never invited, but I found out about it because the only reason I found out about it was a fluke because they had the same rule. No, you can't talk about it, but we have a bunch of newspaper guys. So this is the problem with tech reporting, by the way.
It's not just tech reporting, but yes.
No, I'm just saying with tech reporting, they make people sign, and I have to say they did this with tech reporting before they did with the general media, which is make people sign non-disclosures. So you sign a non-disclosure agreement, which is a legal document that says you can't talk about this or that, and sometimes there's a date attached where you can start talking about it or not. I mean, this is all done for the marketing department so they can carefully orchestrate, how they're going to roll a product out and how they're going to keep the buzz alive and do all the rest of it. So there's no real reporting going on because you're signed off on all this stuff. By the way, I refuse to sign these things. I think it's abhorrent that anybody does sign them, and they sign them at the New York Times, they sign them at the Washington Post, they sign them every place else. No, what I did was I had found out about this, the Hood Canal thing, and then I got a hold of a couple of friends of mine that went there, and I just had them tell me about it, and then I just reported on it.
Yeah.
And of course, then they canceled it, and they never had it a sense that I know of.
So I was not under non-disclosure just before I left. We went down to Cupertino and met with my old friend Eddie Q. You know Eddie?
Fast Eddie Q?
Yeah, it's Fast Eddie Q, everybody. How you doing, Eddie Q, down here in Cupertino? Eddie Q runs the entire iTunes, iPhone, iPod Touch division. And
he's your buddy?
Yeah. Well, it was just before the D conference when he called me up and said, yeah, Steve and I would like to meet with you about podcasting and iTunes. And this was before they integrated it and announced it and launched it. And, so we went down for another meeting and these guys are on fire down there, dude. They are so on fire.
And now they're on fire?
Not in like actual fire, but,
oh, okay.
But man, it's just amazing this platform that they have. And now in the new iPhone apps, I believe that the functionality, you'll be able to create an iPhone app where you can then sell stuff within the iPhone app. So you can sell your iPhone app and then you could potentially sell, well, obviously anything in the iTunes store, but also other iPhone apps. So you can put your own like affiliate program into the iPhone app. And it's just, they're so smart. They're so onto that. They know exactly what to do. These guys are... Damn!
All right,
man.
All right.
I curse them.
You're giving them a blowjob on the air.
Yeah, well, that's it. That's all I wanted to do. Hold on.
Was it?
No, it's good. Well, we're going to do some stuff with them. We got some ideas.
Oh, okay, well, that's a good thing.
Yeah. But I was just amazed at and Eddie's office, dude. He's got like every massive celebrity. It's like Eddie, I love you. It's almost like he's a record boss. Well, of course he is, really. But, from actors to sports figures, he's got...
But he has a bunch of signed autographed pictures all over the office?
A bunch? That is the office. I mean, there's not a wall space left. Because, this thing is just so massive for people. I think I'm actually have to go get one now.
Go get one what?
An iPhone. I got to get an iPhone again.
Would you want to just get the...
What?
iPod Touch.
Well, I have the old iPod Touch. I could get a new iPod Touch.
But don't get an iPhone because all you're gonna do is complain.
Complain about it. I was thinking of taking my G phone in and just laying it on the table. Hey everybody, how you doing? Here's my G phone. which I am loving more and more, by the way. I love the G phone because it, I have the U.S., the Mevio offices gave me this one. And so we have the, you know, the T-Mobile, I guess, on it. So when I'm in the States, I want to use that because it's obviously cheaper to call around. So I wound up kind of using it as my primary device, and it really does rock. I can't help but say it.
What operating system you have on? Because if you up my son, who has a developer's model, upgraded to 1.5, and he says the battery life it just goes right, it becomes usable.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I have the most recent version. I mean, it's all updated.
Yeah, I think if it's a T-Mobile phone, it's probably not 1.5.
Well, can I see that in the? Won't it tell me in the settings if I look at it? What?
It should.
About phone. Hold on. Yes, about phone. I have firmware version 1.1.
All I know is I got a lot of tweets saying, "Hey, they won't let us upgrade to 1.5." So I go to my Twitter account to announce that they're what you're looking for. This I'm going to tell
the
story.
Yeah, it's 1.1. It's 1.1, so it's not 1.5.
Okay. So I'm looking at the Twitter account to tell people we're streaming this, and my my following goes from the 666, which I had on there as a kind of a gag, to 667. I didn't follow anybody new.
You must have done something somewhere.
Adam can upgrade the old iTouch to the new firmware for $10. So, I don't know. I didn't. I'm telling you, I don't just follow anybody. I don't remember. I know I didn't. I guarantee you. Yesterday it was 666, and now it's 667. So, there's some hack going on that got me up one number.
So I'm just waiting for. I'm so tired. I can't remember what I was going to say. I lost it mid sentence. Can you believe that?
Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah.
I can hardly wait for.
I remembered for Android on a netbook. I'm holding out the first netbook that really has Android rocking. I'm buying it. I think these guys are onto something. It'll never be the platform success, or I don't. Let's not say never, but I don't think it'll be the platform success that iTunes. And everyone's trying to do this now. Nokia is relaunching the OV store, which keeps reminding me of ovaries for some reason. But they're relaunching the OV store. And everyone's, you know, trying to recreate this model of a marketplace, an app store, essentially the Apple App Store. But it's not working for, or at least doesn't appear to be as successful as what Apple is doing.
Huh.
But it's kind of like the new black, you know, everybody has to have a store, an app store.
And, yeah, I know. Everybody has to have an app store, and it always has to be called an app store.
And we totally need a no agenda stream or no agenda app for the BlackBerry. Lots of people requesting that, and I have no idea if it's hard to do or.
Oh, somebody out there, probably one of our listeners, can just probably knock it off in a weekend.
Well, we'll promote it.
So we'll promote it. So what's the now? We have two apps for the iPhone.
Yes, we do. I've not tried either one. Jersey Joe at the office, he's using the one that, the original one, but yeah, I don't know if they're the same, if they're the same functionality. But people do seem to like it because it does the, it'll download the podcast, but also, play the stream. That is only if we keep the stream at 64 kilobits or lower, because Apple won't allow a higher quality stream. I guess for the for cost of bandwidth or something of the like.
Well, can you get the stream in some other fashion? Do you have to go through the Apple everything to do everything? Does everything have to go through Apple? Does all roads lead to Apple? Does everything have to come out of Apple? It doesn't make any sense.
Probably.
Well, we need an Android phone app then.
Well, Stream Furious does it very well. Stream Furious, we're baked in. We're in the listing, and they actually they asked me for some sound clips and stuff. I guess they want to do like a soundboard along with No Agenda. I mean, I don't care. I'm just happy. Stream Furious is a great app. I use it on the you should load it on the on your G phone. It's a great streaming radio app.
Huh.
So I've been saving this one. Now what are we? 45 minutes into the show. Yeah, perfect. Here we go. John, The Clean Water Restoration Act, which amends the Federal Water Pollution Control Act, now passed. Do you know what this does?
Probably something bad.
Yeah, well, it's right along what we were talking about earlier, or a couple weeks back, with the United Nations wanting to control the waters, the oceans, the seas, etc. So there were some changes in this amendment to the act, and they've taken out the language "navigable waters of the United States" and changed it to "waters of the United States," which is a huge difference, because in one case it's, I guess, water where you can use, you know, they could use as transportation, and now it's all water of the United States, all
including
water.
The water in my well.
Yes, all water. So here it is, waters of the United States. The term waters of the United States means all waters subject to the ebb and flow of tide, the territorial seas, and all interstate and intrastate waters and their tributaries, including lakes, rivers, streams, including intermittent streams, mudflats, sandflats, wetlands, sloughs, prairie, potholes, wet meadows, playa lakes, natural ponds, and all impoundments of the foregoing to the fullest extent of these waters or activities affecting these waters are subject to the legislative power of Congress under the Constitution. Water is now owned by the government. It is no longer a right. You have no right to water. The government controls water. And there's a huge, I mean, there's people freaking out over this. There are, and this was, so this was announced in, at the World Water Forum in March in Turkey. And, where language actually from their doctrine declaring water as a human right was removed. So, in the United States, the way I read this, and the way others read it as well, all water, and that was quite a list there, including your well water, John, is owned by the government, and I guess can be done with as they please whenever they want to.
Does that include recycled pee?
Why are you like this? It's so unnecessary. This is a huge deal. Let me ask you this. Would you consider water a human right?
Well, I don't consider it a right. I consider it a thing, an item, a reality, a something that exists.
Let's say access to water. Or can someone say, no, you can't have that water?
Well, if they put a fence around the reservoir, I don't think I have the right to go through the fence.
Right, but who's putting the fence around the reservoir? The government can now do that.
I have mixed feelings about this. Let's put it that way. I don't know what this means. I mean, I don't know why they're doing this. There's something fishy about it, which is today's theme, by the way. Fishy stories.
So if I look at the grand overview of everything that's going on and all the horseshit that we're following when it comes to climate change, here's kind of what I'm thinking. Here's the theory that I'm working on. Call it a conspiracy theory if you must. So clearly, there is knowledge that in the next few years, and probably it'll coincide with 2012. Go ahead, say it. Oh, brother. Clearly there is knowledge that there are big changes afoot. And it makes sense. There are changes. The magnetic poles are reversing. We've got all kinds of massive magnetic and solar activity. You know, the Earth is changing. The Earth changes all the time. It's evolved throughout its history. Only 6,000 years, as you know. And I believe that there is actual knowledge that lots of crap is going to happen, and that there will be weird. I'm not calling for destruction and devastation. We're all going to die. But yeah, we could see flooding in weird places. We could totally see shit coming down. And I think that that's why all these stories are being launched. And that's why Al Gore can say with such certainty that the science is clear. And,
while you're at it, play the clip I gave you.
Oh, okay. Hold on a second.
This is Joy Behar on Larry King.
Is she from the View? Joy Behar.
She's the comedian. She's a comedian that is one of the women on the View.
Okay. Well, here we go. She's on Larry King, and here's and Joy Behar.
She's going to be bitching about...
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
She's going to be bitching about Rush Limbaugh.
And this pertains to 2012 somehow?
Just play it.
Hey, get off my lawn, you kids. Shut up. There you go.
There's no problem. I mean, this guy, Rush Limbaugh, I used to work with him years ago, and I sort of am friendly with him in a certain weird kind of way.
They did pills together.
And he constantly is talking about how there is no global warming. Every climatologist in the world says there's global warming. Every scientist has said there is a problem. We're all on this earth together, and this guy goes out and says that there's no global warming. Who is he? What is he talking about? And who are these ditto heads that agree with him, I'd like to know? Aren't they breathing the same air that we are?
I don't think he has a degree in meteorology.
No, I don't think so.
What a bonehead. Meteorology. That has nothing to do with climate.
So, of course, that implies that either Al Gore has a degree in meteorology.
I think he has a degree in astrology.
That Joy has a degree. But this is the thing that gets me about this stuff, which is
every single one.
This is what the problem is with this argument and why it sets off a bunch of alarms and red flags with me. When you start saying, because this is like going to Israel and getting an agreement, you know, with anybody, they're just going to be debating forever. And then the scientists don't all agree on anything.
Isn't that the definition of science?
Sorry?
Isn't that almost the definition of science, that it's not truth?
It's debatable.
Yeah.
So how does every, with no exception, every climatologist and every scientist, this is bull. I mean, when you start hearing that, you know something's wrong.
When will we just come to terms with the fact that the arrogance, the pure arrogance of thinking that we are going to hurt Mother Earth is ludicrous? We might kill ourselves, sure. I mean, that's highly likely. In fact, it's probably necessary that a whole bunch of us die pretty soon because we're growing at exponential rate. And so maybe that's why things like Mexican flu were introduced to kind of help that along. But the arrogance of thinking that we're gonna ruin the earth just slays me time and time again when I hear that.
Yeah, I know. One day, you know, Krakatoa goes off and it throws up so much crap into the atmosphere that we could never duplicate, you know, a super volcano blowing, and they happen all the time. So anyway, I just found that clip to be annoying. So. Yeah. You know, here's a comedian, you know, that is just, you know, full of herself. And it's just, I found the thing to be, and by the way, I have a clip, I can put it up, I'll send you a link, to one of the more famous meteorologists, who's a TV guy now, going on and on about what a bunch of, you know, that this is all untrue. And,
what, you mean the guy who started the Weather Channel?
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, John, do I have to go and pull the show where I played that? Don't you remember we played the whole interview where he's like, this is
such
horseshit?
You couldn't have played the whole thing. It's about 20 minutes.
True. I played the relevant bits. Or maybe I played it on Daily Source Code. I can't remember. That was probably
I don't think
Daily
you played
Source
on our
Code.
Show.
Yeah, you're right. No, it's...
So you're the one that should have the horn honked.
Where is it?
In a world.
Oh, no, that's not it. Oh, sorry. Messed it. Yeah, well, maybe this one. No, not that one. No. Sorry, can't help you. Saved by the Bell.
I got to hook up a sound effect machine to this thing on my side. This is ridiculous.
Ron Paul's audit the Fed bill, H.R. 1207, now has 148 co-sponsors. We're getting closer.
Yeah.
Getting closer. Like,
now, what was my prediction on this? It's not going
to
happen.
No, it's not. Yeah, you said it, but we need 218 to have it pass.
So yeah, the Senate has to deal with it.
Well, yeah, but I mean, step by step, baby steps. And there was and this is in the show notes. You have to listen to this. I'd love to play a couple of clips from this, John. This is, where the hell is it? The clip is called Who is Minding the Store at the Fed? And this is, let me just open it up. This is from Congress. This is Alan Grayson asking the Federal Reserve Inspector General about the trillions of dollars lent or spent by the Federal Reserve, where it went, and the trillions of off-balance sheet obligations. Now, the whole thing is about 5.5 minutes. But just to hear, I just got to play a little bit of it so you can hear what is, how crazy. Obviously, they're not answering anything.
Inspector Coleman, you're the Inspector General for the Federal Reserve, right? Okay. Have you done any investigation?
It's what we call dead air.
You can't hear this?
No.
You're not hearing anything?
No, I'm not hearing anything.
How is that possible? I hear it.
Well, I'm just telling you. I heard all the...
Hold on a second.
All the other sound effects you did fine, but this is like you're putting this through some other system.
No, it's going through exactly the same system. Let me see if I can.
I don't hear a thing.
Yeah, well, hold on. Well, it's not playing right now. Hold on. Oh, shit, you're right. Ah, crap. Well, it's no fun then if you can't hear it. Ah, shit.
Well, I heard the Joyce Behar thing.
Yeah.
Or the Joy Behar
thing. Let me just see. Why is this happening to me? Hold on. It's... Is it even going through the, is it being recorded? Let me see. Well, I can't believe you're not hearing that.
I'm hearing nothing. All right, put it up for next week.
I'm sorry. I don't know what's wrong here. But he literally says, okay, so there's $9 trillion of off-balance sheet obligations. Can you please tell us where that money went? And she just won't answer the question. She's like, well, you know, it's a part of our review. A review of $10 trillion? A review? No, we're not. It's not an investigation. It's a process we call a review. And so where did that money go? Well, as part of our review, it's just you have to watch this clip. It will freak you out.
Okay, we'll make a link to it, and we'll talk about it next show.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Meanwhile, something we were supposed to talk about this show, which I wanted to talk about last time.
Okay.
Is apparently Arnold Schwarzenegger opened the door to legalizing marijuana in the state of California by saying it should be discussed.
Well, you said that last show.
Yeah, I said last show that we're going to talk about it on this show.
Well, so what's there to talk about?
What's there to talk about is some numbers if you start looking at them, because people have this interesting argument like, well, you know, it's not going to really do the state much good because, you know, you're going to tax marijuana because the idea is to tax it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the tax marijuana. It's not going to really do that much because, you know, people are just going to grow it themselves. And I'm thinking, well, how many people grow their own tomatoes? I mean, how many people grow their own food? They don't do that. I mean, some people, you know, aren't interested. And how many people, you know, in the olden days of the pot smoking in California, and by the way, we have a good piece of artwork for this topic.
Yeah, we do.
The pot smoking, most people buy their pot. They don't grow it.
Really?
I don't know.
You're reliably informed on this, huh?
Seems to me. So I was looking at the numbers. So I'm looking at the numbers, and in fact, the most they could expect to get, even though it's nothing to sneeze at, which is about the amount of tax they get from tobacco in California, which is $1 billion. But the fact of the matter is we still have something like 45,000 people in jail for drug-related offenses, which costs the taxpayers between $35,000 and $70,000
a year. Yes, that's the big deal.
Right, and we're talking about at least $2 billion, and this is from 1999 figures, by the way, in savings, plus the billion in taxation brings it to $3 billion. And then if you start to look at the ancillary stuff, which in other words, what is the price of law enforcement over this stuff? We're talking about another couple billion, and you end up with something like $6 billion.
Well, but don't you see, John, that's exactly why it's taking place? That's exactly why it's never going to go away, because all of these prisons...
And if we had legalized marijuana and decriminalized drug uses, which is different than legalizing, by the way, in the year 2000, California wouldn't have this huge deficit. I think it's 42 billion in the hole right now. We would be up billion dollars, and we could fix these potholes on the San Francisco Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah, but it's part of the military-industrial complex. This is exactly why it's still taking place, because these are commercial prisons. They get money per head, per person that they have incarcerated. It's exactly that reason why it will never be legalized, because it's way too big in the scheme of the evil uberlords who control us with their military police state.
They can control us all we want, but we're $42 billion in the hole in the state of California with a 10% personal income tax. The public can't put up with this crap any longer, even though there's some uberlords or whatever they are doing the prison system. We don't need all these drug users in jail. At $40,000 to $70,000 a person that we're paying for.
We need all these drug users working for the government. That's a much better plan.
Well, I'd rather have them working for the government for $40,000 a year than paying $40,000 just to feed them. It's ridiculous.
Did you see the unemployment numbers that came out? 600,000. It seems like every month it's 5,000 to 700,000 more new unemployed. What happened to the save or create bit?
They've saved. There would have been a million.
Oh, right. Okay. I'm sorry. I should have known
better. So they've saved 500,000 jobs.
There was a sector that grew by 150,000 jobs.
Government.
Yes, exactly. Ay.
What can I say?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, so Schwarzenegger at least has let the door open. There's a big movement in California to do this, by the way.
It's not going
to
happen. Just as you are so sure about H.R. 1207, it'll never be legalized. It'll never be decriminalized. It's just not going to happen.
And whatever happened to Obama's promise that they were going to stop harassing these people that have the legal marijuana joints, you know, for medical purposes?
Well, there's a lot of promises, man. I mean, this whole, it's kind of slipping under the radar, but... You know, Guantanamo Bay is not closed. Okay, we know that on day two there was the big. This is the first thing I'm going to do. I'm going to close Gitmo, baby. And it's not closed. And in fact, the debate is now once again raging because, well, you know, where are we going to send these people? We have nowhere to send. It's like 100 guys. You know, 100 guys. What is the big deal? You can incarcerate 45,000 people who use drugs. But it looks like this is just me a throwback to the Bush administration, the Bush era.
Oh, it's starting to look more like Bush 2.
Bush 3, you mean. It sure does.
Yeah, I guess it is Bush 3, although
in
Bush 1.
In so many things, you know, the same for the wiretapping, you know, and have you seen any of these Eric Holder hearings with the Attorney General, essentially, about... prosecuting the Bush administration officials for sanctioning waterboarding and other EITs.
Yeah, I know. I like the way they're sneaking that one in.
Oh, man.
I think they should.
Well, of course they should. But what gets me, and this hit me on the plane, is like, because just before I left, I was watching this, and you know, and then of course the question is, did Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, did she know that these enhanced interrogation techniques at waterboarding were being used? And she said, "Oh no, I was only told that there was a legal opinion." Of course, thank you, lawyers of the world. There was a legal opinion that it was not actually torture, and that's what she was briefed on. But everyone knows that, of course, she knew what was going on. But what kills me is that we have these huge discussions about, you know, simulating drowning on someone. Not a nice practice. You know, throwing caterpillars into confined spaces with people who freak out over it. Not a nice practice. But at the same time, you do realize that we are killing each other. There are people shooting bullets at each other and, you know, tanks and blowing up people from helicopters. You know, that is not a discussion. Oh, that's all fair. You know, that's okay. The irony of it just goes beyond me. I was talking to the guy who made my omelet the last day I left at the hotel. Frank. And he says, man, Frank making my omelet. I don't know how we got into it, but he says, man, you know, you got these guys over there in Iraq and Afghanistan, and they just blow 30 people up. We can't win a war like that. That's not fair. They're not playing fair.
Just like, it sounds like the
flip the omelet, Frank. Just flip it for me, will you, baby? It's not fair.
So back to the marijuana topic just for a second. My son asked me, he says, so what is this legalized marijuana thing you got? Is that because of Adam? And I want to make it clear that it's not. It's because of the taxes and the stupidity. I do not advocate anybody using drugs, and I, in fact, excoriate you constantly for smoking tobacco.
Yeah. I have not smoked marijuana for the past 5 days.
And if anybody out there would notice, it doesn't seem to make any difference with you.
Exactly.
So, but you're still smoking tobacco.
Very little, actually.
Hmm. Anyway, the point is that, no, this is just a practical matter.
I'm sick and tired of it. I'm sick and tired of myself. I'm sick and tired of being unhealthy. I'm going to the gym starting Tuesday. My daughter is committed to drag me in two times
Curry
a week.
Pumped up.
Yeah. Hey, baby. Getting my guns. Oh, yeah, baby. Look out. No, I'm tired of it, John. I'm so after that bout with swine flu, I'm like, I got to stop this shit. I got to stop smoking. I just got to stop everything. It's just I become so unpleasant.
Well, there goes your office meetings.
Yeah. In the staircase.
So, well, good luck with that.
Well, thank you. Thank you for being so supportive.
Well, I think, you know, you've tried it before. I hope you can do it this time.
I can.
But, you know, going to the gym probably does help every once in a while. Everyone should do that.
Two times a week to start off with, I'm going. I'm going to be
then
so...
Then your knees give out and then you're...
I'm going to come back to San Francisco in June. I'm going to be so pumped up, baby. And I got to get a... I'm going to be out there for a long time. I'm going to be out for like a month.
Oh, no.
Uh-huh. So I got to get the setup. I got to get a hardware setup so we don't dick around with all that stuff every single time. So it just works.
So you're going to be able to stream, you think?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm going to make sure that that's all set up. Well, we're out of John. Why don't we talk
Well, let's
about,
go to...
Yes.
I'm sorry.
No, exactly. Let's go to, you're right.
We are the Knights of the No Agenda. Knights of the No Agenda. Knights of the No Agenda. And we suck.
Let's talk about donations.
Hi, Adam and John. I'm the one who donated $48.71, which is the one he doesn't want his name mentioned, I don't believe.
Okay. Oh, I remember this one. This was a wacky code we never, ever would have gotten.
Yeah. I'm a registered health information technician through the American Health Information Management Association, responsible for data integrity, blah, 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 which is kind of interesting because one of the big stories this week is somebody stole all the data from the Virginia healthcare system.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, some hacker. In fact, I haven't seen the follow-up on this story. Maybe somebody can send me a tweet or something if there's anything new. But some guy stole 10 million records, more than that. All the states, apparently most of Virginia's healthcare information, and then deleted the files on the servers and then found the backups and deleted them. And said, give me $10 million or I'm putting these records into the public domain. I'll give them to the highest bidder.
And what exactly are these? What do these records consist of?
It's like all the health care information. You know, the guys, the person's name, their health record, everything, right. Every visit to every doctor, right. Social Security number.
But it's really not going to be that exciting because, as we've determined, all of this information is essentially insurance codes.
Some of it. I don't know.
Besides, this is what we learned. Besides the demographic data, about the patient, there's not actually, it's not like there's hand entries by, Dr. Spock saying, well, I saw this patient and this is where his symptoms and this is what I prescribed.
Well, we don't know what the.
Yes, we do. We do know this. What's in there is one of 20,000 insurance codes and that is your medical history. It's not like your GP has entered all of this data meticulously the way he would in his own notes, which is the danger of this type of digitized healthcare being implemented by IT specialists.
Well, anyway, the point is he's got this stuff and he wants $10 million. So
that's cool.
So they're spending. So the FBI and everybody's spending all their time wheels spinning trying to track this guy through IP addresses, MAC addresses, and whatever they can do.
Good luck.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Good luck.
If the guy is so bold to come out with this, you can be sure that he's either mobbed up, Russian mob or something. They're probably out of Bulgaria or someplace. And he's got so many covers, in terms of IP spoofing that they're never going to figure out who it is.
Never. So 4871.
All right, here we go. You actually discussed the meaning of the number with the next topic of just the No Agenda 95, blah, blah, blah. The code 4871 is actually 487.1 is the ICD-9 International Classifications Diseases for Swine Flu.
Ah.
Technically, there are three to choose from, 4870, or which is 487.0, influenza with pneumonia, 487.1, influenza with other respiratory, i.e. cough, or 487.8, which is influenza with other manifestations. I don't really see the difference there with the last two, but anyway, it says every October new and modified codes are added to the code book. They may add a specific swine flu code by next fall. They did add code 4. This is, by the way, boring, but I'm going to read it anyway. They did add code 488. So anyone wants to give us $488, would be good. Influenza due to the avian influenza virus after all the bird flu hysteria. Anyway. So there's other ones here he mentions, by the way, like codes like 305.00, which is alcohol intoxication / abuse.
Do we have?
I didn't know about this international classification.
Yeah, it's a standard.
This is probably the stuff that was stolen by this guy in Virginia.
Yeah, so it's the same thing. Yes, insurance codes.
635.9 could reveal an elective abortion. 295.90 could reveal schizophrenia.
Oh, before I want to. Now, do we have any donations, or can we just move on? Is there anything worth mentioning, or are people not giving us any money anymore? Is it all over? Exactly. I mean, it's just done. Are we toast?
We'll go through the number, the specific people next Thursday. But I would advise people that please donate.
This what I saw Thursday night relates, or Friday night, I guess, relates to this, because you know, one of the main reasons I like marijuana is because it appears to help against my mild form of Tourette syndrome. Interestingly enough.
Yes, and by the way, I think that Tourette syndrome that you have is responsible for your occasional outbursts.
Oh, you know what? If you do an MRI of my brain, the tics and twitches are related to firing of synapses in the brain. You can it's coordinated. It's all built in. It could totally have to do with that. I don't know. It's a weird disease, and it's no one can do anything about it. At least I'm not. Well, in fact, I am saying a lot of nasty swear words as well, but I don't do it in the supermarket typically.
Now, one of the things about I saw there was a really good Tourette special on PBS some years ago that I watched. And it was interesting because the number of people who just sit around cussing all the time with Tourette's is very low. It's very,
very
few.
Very
it's
low, yeah.
One in a couple hundred.
But they are the funniest. They're the most fun to hang out with.
I was actually on an airplane with one of them who came on.
I love this. Hey, cocksucker.
Yeah.
I know.
No, the guy comes. I knew something was amiss when he started coming on the plane to begin with, because for one thing, he had a rolly bag, but he had the thing turned around backwards. So the wheels were not making contact. They were just
scraping
along.
Just dragging it. That's a severe case.
And he was cussing. And so I said, but I already seen the special. And he had the twitches.
Yeah.
And so he sits down, and he was in first class. And he sits down, and he starts cussing as people come on the plane because he got on early. So as people go by, he goes, son of a bitch, son of a bitch.
No, so, I'm telling you, I suffer from this, so I know what it is. What's weird about this syndrome is there's – And a lot of people will have like I've obviously studied this. People make guttural sounds and really weird things. And what it is you know that you're going to twitch, or you know that you're going to make some kind of sound, or it wells up, and you almost can't. Well, you obviously can't stop it. Although I have a very uncanny knack of being able to stop it when I'm on camera. I don't know why. But it is certain types of sounds and words. This is why cocksucker is you'll hear that a lot with Tourette patients. I don't think son of a bitch is one they use a lot. Are you sure you said son of a bitch?
No, he may have been cussing some other way. All I know is he was
because
cussing.
You know how nice it is to say fuck? Yeah. You know, it's like, and a cocksucker.
Yeah, it could have been that. Whatever the case was, I recognized what it was, and I was amused by it because
it's amusing. It's just amusing.
It's very amusing, but the guy got kicked off the plane. They finally took him off.
So
he was too disruptive.
On Real Time with Bill Maher, one of our favorite writers was on, Seth MacFarlane. And he has Tourette syndrome. He has exactly what I have.
Ah.
And it was really fun to watch because I can see it. You know, I can see where, you know, he's trying to control it, and he's got little, my sisters would call it jidgets is what they call it. And he's got a little, you know, little twitch with his head thing going on there. And I notice it immediately. I'm like, oh man, the guy's got Tourette. And what happens is when he's into the vibe and he's laughing and it was funny and he was on the ball and he was, you know, joke and he was killing. He was really, really good. And then
he's
it just,
funny guy.
And then it really starts to happen, you know, cause now he's not paying attention to it. It's like, wow, you know, it's just, it was good for me as a fellow sufferer. I'm like, there you go. And it's interesting to watch. It's interesting to watch someone with Tourette. They're not boring.
Yeah, well, it's kind of interesting. I mean, it's interesting once in a while. I mean, the cussing ones are the more interesting of the group.
And the clan.
I mean, you basically have a couple of minor tics that no one would even notice.
But it moves around. It can be in my neck. It can be in my blinking of eyes. It could be in my arm. It's really crazy. It's crazy.
I've never seen the arm thing. But then yeah, once in a while you go into a fit of rage for a very short time, which I think is somehow related. Now, the one thing that was in this special, which I've always found the most fascinating about the Tourette sufferers, is that they're all apparently, except, and you kind of deny being this way, clean freaks.
No, I'm not a clean freak. I'm not.
Well, but I don't know that you're not.
Because I'd admit it if I was. I'm not.
Not necessarily.
What are you trying to say?
I think you might be a clean freak.
Really?
You keep your desk rather clean.
No, because I never do anything at it.
Well, that's another story.
Maggie keeps it clean. Maggie's the one who cleans the shit up. I never clean anything. I wind up making their joint filters out of the papers.
You're always attired in a very clean, freakish way.
I what?
I'll have to think about this.
No, I'm not a clean freak. I'm not a clean freak. I'm not.
I know, but most a lot of clean...
Cocksucker, I'm not a clean freak.
Anyway, so they had all these Tourette's guys, and they would have them. They had a lot of elements of OCD,
mm-hmm. Yes.
Although they didn't have OCD. They were
OCD. I totally have OCD.
Well, like, there you have it.
Like touching the light. I used to... there are all kinds of little habits, you know, that it's like not stepping. I've never been that severe, like not stepping on the cracks in the pavement, but that's a very, very common form of it. So, yeah, I totally have OCD, but that's gotten better. And the whole thing has gotten better, mainly because of marijuana. What can I tell you? I love this stuff.
It could be.
I love this stuff. It really calms me down. It makes me feel good about myself. But I've come to terms with it. Just talking about it really helps. It was a huge problem when I was a kid. It was like, you know, it was the
Was it diagnosed properly when you were younger?
Well, what do you mean properly?
Well, did someone say, this kid's got Tourette's.
Yes.
You're going to have the time of your life watching him.
Yeah. Get him a TV show. This is cool. Yeah, and there's my dad had it, or still has it. And interestingly, my cousin has it, who's just a sweet kid, brilliant kid. And when we had the family reunion, and I didn't know this, my cousin came up to me. So my first cousin, it's her son. So he would be my nephew, right? Yeah. So my cousin Lucy comes up. Lucy, by the way, she was the one that was married to Christopher Buckley. You know, she's in that whole Washington clan. And
Christopher Buckley?
Yeah, the writer.
Like, she's married to him?
She was. They're divorced now.
Huh.
Yeah, he used to hang out.
He just came out with a book, you know. I wonder if she's in the book.
Oh, was it like a biography type thing?
Well, it's mostly about his dad and mom, but probably has that stuff in there.
She might be. I think Connor, I guess Connor's their kid. I think so. That I don't know, because I think so. Well, anyway, so he has it, and she came up to me and said, you know, it would be so cool if you could just, you know, chat with him a little bit. And let him know that it's okay, because you know it's tough. You know, he's like 8 or 9 years old. You know, it's weird because you're a freak, essentially, because you're not normal.
I guess. I mean, I don't know. I mean, if you didn't mention it to me, I probably would have never picked up on it.
Really?
Yeah. Really. It's like so mild. It's like ridiculously mild. I mean, just like a couple of little twitches that could come from anything, and you know that you're maybe a little OCD, but it's not really noticeable. And a lot of people are clean freaks, so that doesn't, you know, mean much.
Well, of course, the times when we see each other, I'm usually baked, so that would explain, that would explain it.
Well, I mean, I guess could be. That could be it. But it's just, to me, it's not real noticeable, but I'm not perhaps the most observant person when it comes to these kinds of things where I'm always looking for that guy. Wonder what syndrome he's got. Looks like he's got, OCD, and he's manic depressive, and he's a bipolar, and he's this, and he's that. You know, just doesn't, I don't care.
Well, anyway, that's why it was so interesting when I got tapped to do a TV show when I was 19. I was like, oh, my God, this is the last thing I need. It's like I'm going to be on TV and be like a fucking Twitch bot. And somehow I learned to control it without drugs, by the way. I can do segments and I can do shows and interviews and there's nothing. And then the camera goes off and then it's back.
Yeah, well, that probably triggers something, a performance gene or something gets triggered. It shuts all that stuff off. I know that when I go on camera, I could be coughing and wheezing or have a cold, and I'm clear as a bell. I never cough or choke up on the camera. And then when it's over, I start I'm coughing again or whatever if I happen to be sick at the time. I don't know. It's just something.
It's professionalism, my friend. That's what we call that.
And I want people to go to Dvorak.org/NA and give us a hand. We'll mention your name this coming Thursday.
Yeah.
Please, $50 or $100 would be good. And a $24 subscription would be good. And even $2 a month, we don't care.
Yeah, you know, I need medical help. I need medical attention. It's going to cost me an arm and a leg. So people are always asking what we're going to do with the money. Have we spent a single dime of that money yet?
Not that I know of.
What do you mean? Hold on. You're the one controlling the purse strings. Are you sure?
No, we actually have a little pot full of money still.
We haven't done jack shit with it.
We have to do a website. We got a website we're working on. We're doing it one of these Squarespace ones.
Yeah, people will believe that when they see it.
Well, I'm going to call these guys up this week and say, hey, where's our, you know, because it's some people developing it for us and see how far along they've gotten.
Okay. Groovy. Groovy.
Dvorak.org/NA. Please go there.
Yeah. And so I'm back now, so I'll be able to work a little bit on our No Agenda stream, which I've completely neglected. We have the IRC channel, which we'll be implementing hopefully this week, which is cool. One of our producers set that up.
I have a new interlude.
A new interlude? Oh, yeah. Do you have it ready to go? Can I put it on
today? Yeah, it's done. I can't. My FTP site seems to have blocked me for some reason. I don't know why, but I'm going to have to get that fixed. Also, we got an interesting 500 rupees from someone I want to talk about.
Rupees? Through PayPal?
No, he sent me a 500 rupee bill.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Pranath Parikh. Yeah. He wants me to read his letter in that Indian accent I do.
Okay, cool. Really? An Indian guy asked you to do that?
Yeah, he says it's hilarious.
That's cool. I like it.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm getting... I haven't been able to get into that voice much recently. I don't know why.
Practice.
Comes and goes. It comes and goes.
Just practice. Are you on Twitch today?
No, I'm not. My son's in town and we're going off to do some stuff.
Okay, cool. All right, I'm going to go read the rest of my Ayn Rand novel.
Ugh.
Don't do that. Be happy the children today are reading. Damn it.
No agenda library.
No agenda library. Yeah, exactly. All right. I was a bit over the map today, John, but I'm so jet lagged.
It was a fast show.
Yeah, rocking. But we missed a lot of big stuff that's happening in the world. It's, you know, this whole thing in Pakistan is just spinning out of control. Obama, I don't know if you saw him with Karzai of Afghanistan. They're in Turkey, and Obama's going to address the Islamic world, and he didn't show up at prayer day. There's just so many things going on.
Well, we'll get back to it.
Not to mention that in the United Kingdom, they've figured out how to make up for all the deficit spending they're doing. Can you guess? People making over £150,000 will now be taxed at a 50% rate. 50%. Half your money goes to the government who are watching porn movies with their husbands. I feel good. I feel groovy.
Yeah, they're using your money to watch porn.
Yeah. Coming to you from the Crackpot Command Center located in the southwestern quadrant of Gitmo Nation East, better known as the United Kingdom, my name is Adam Curry.
and from the Buzzkill bunker here in northern Silicon Valley, where it's beautiful today, I'm John C. Dvorak.
We will talk to you again on Thursday, right here on No Agenda.